Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is sick because I get to talk with my booth partner for Collecticon, Josh of Gong Kong Toys. This is his first year in making toys, crushing it with his figure. Scorn is so sick, and he is running wild. Different paints, different things, killing it. If you want more Toys on Tap, like, follow, rate, review, wherever you get it. This helps us get into more ears, which helps us have the ability to produce more fun stuff. If you want to see what we're doing and get on and do all kinds of stuff with it, social media is where it's happening. Instagram, any kind of social media, at Toys on Tap. We're working on the website. That's where we are. If you want to support the show even more, patreon.com/toysontap. That's where you get extra stuff when we make them. Come on. We're going to do something great this year. We're going to do something great on this episode. And I cannot wait to see you guys at the shows. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Yeah.
How's it going, man?
What's up? Dude, this is the first time we're meeting and we're tabling together. That can't be real.
Yeah, dude. I had walked up to you at D-Con. I saw you for like a second.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which day?
It might have been Sunday. It was probably like right before I was leaving.
Did you tell me who you were? I feel like you didn't, because we would have talked for a while.
No, yeah. I think like I had walked up, I said hi, and then somebody else walked up, so I'll like let you do your thing.
Dude, you should have stayed and talked for a bit.
Yeah.
That's all right. Hey, I'm glad that you're on. We get to do this. Today's just been a toy day for me. Had a toy meeting before. Yeah, we're talking about like licensing. Do you ever remember the brand Snailians?
No.
Dude, it's like these little guys.
Oh, okay.
And then they go in like this, like armor that just fits around them and clips on them.
That's sick.
Yeah, we're gonna license them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, as Toys on Tap. So I'm pretty sick, or I'm pretty pumped about that. It's pretty sick, dude. But who cares about that? We're here for you. That's what we're here for. That's crazy. I'm pumped that you're on. Long time coming. We're tabling. It's going to be so sick. It's going to be so sick. You got rad toys that you have. So let's just jump in. Tell us who you are, what you do. Let's go.
So I'm Gong Kong, Gong Kong Studios. Right now I have Scorn. That's like my figure out right now. I started creating toys. Haven't been doing it for very long. But I love it, man. I love doing it.
Yeah, it's so sick. I love, like, the process of making and, like, figuring out how to advertise. Like, all that stuff is so sick.
Yeah.
We got to settle a little thing. Gong Kong. What is that?
Dude, so originally I had, like, I was trying to come up with a name. I really had no like direction I was going with it, and
like every good artist, like every good artist, we don't have direction.
Yeah, so I had been talking to a couple factories, and obviously they're all in Hong Kong and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a typo, like I accidentally wrote Gong Kong instead of Hong Kong, and I was like, you know what? That's actually kind of catchy. I just like took off the G and like ran with that.
I will tell you, because it's like this much off of Hong Kong, whenever I say it, I feel like I'm saying the wrong thing. So like when I've said it on the podcast, I'm like, Gong, Gong Kong? Yeah. I mean, it's good to have you say it. But that's rad. I mean, some of the best names come from mistakes, right? Like,
yeah.
It's cool that that's happening. We got to walk it back. I got to hear about the childhood. I got to hear about Little Josh, and I got to hear about Little Gong Kong, like what he's doing. All right, so take me back. Toys you're playing with, collecting. What's kind of shaping you as a kid? Cartoons, all that.
So I'll say like as a kid, I think I started off, obviously Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, I used to go like I'd get off the bus, get home, and I'd sit down in front of the TV. I'd watch Pokemon, I'd watch Yu-Gi-Oh, I'd watch all that stuff. And yeah, so from then I was like collecting like, little like the figures that were coming out at the time. I did enjoy like for Ninja Turtles, I enjoyed Metabots. That was probably like a huge one.
What the hell is a
Metabots.
Metabot?
You never watched Metabots?
No.
No way.
Is it like
It
a
was like the
Transformers like knockoff?
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave, go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys
We talk about old toys.
and new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who
But
knows?
you gotta check it
Anyway,
out.
Toy
Toy
Rats.
Rats.
YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
Kind of, they were just already robots. Like they were like little. It was kind of like the concept of like Monster Rancher or like
Yeah.
Pokemon, but like these people had their own robots and the robots fought each other, but they were all like bug robots. So like there was a beetle and
All right, we're looking it up. We're looking it up. I gotta see a picture of this.
that was
Metabots?
Metabots.
Metabots, dude. And it was a cartoon?
Yeah.
Did you have toys too?
Yeah, there was some toys. I had some of the toys, yeah.
Oh, that's so sick looking. That's like Saturday morning cartoon style.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Yeah,
I'm
a
also
lot of
glad
yeah,
you
like
said Monster Ranchers. I'm really glad you said that. That's a pull.
yeah. Those were like, I'd say like, yeah, my favorite cartoons growing up. Like, even Yu-Gi-Oh was awesome for me as like
Yeah.
watching that. Yeah, that was really like, that was like my childhood, just sitting
Yeah.
there watching.
I mean, did you grow up with a lot of toys? Is that like to the point where it made you want to get back into toys later?
So I always collected not just toys but like everything. So as a kid I had a bunch of toys. I had a huge collection of the little Thumbtack deck dudes.
Yeah.
I love those. But it wasn't really like getting back into it as an adult, like, oh, I want to, start collecting, start creating. That was more it for me. It was just like it was kind of like a happy accident, and that's how I created like my first toy. Was just like I stumbled across it.
Okay.
So I actually went to like a hardcore fest in Kentucky, and my girlfriend, she wanted to go to this like collectible store. So I guess they had Sunny Angels. So it was like the only like authenticated store that had them and carried them. So when we got there, the guy, whole back shelf of the store was like Headlock Studios. It was just like shelves and shelves of all this like crazy Sifubi, which at the time, like, I didn't know what the name of like Sifubi like was. Obviously knew about collectibles and art toys and designer toys. But the Sifubi, like it like spoke to me kind of, And Headlock was like the huge, like it was like a huge thing for me. I was like, these are amazing, Yeah, so we kind of went home and that was the start of like me looking into it, me getting into it, and then being like, I want to create my own.
Yeah,
So
what year are we at this point?
That was last year?
No. Okay, so we got to walk back a little bit before last year. Tell me about getting into art, right? So I think when people listen to this podcast, especially newer people, we hear this moment where it's like, we got into toys. But there's so much that kind of just brings that back. Like, we get rid of toys when we're younger. We start collecting again. So when did we start collecting again? And then how does art kind of play out in your life?
So I'm a tattoo artist.
Get out.
Yeah. So I'm a tattoo artist. I paint. Pretty much anything creative, anything artistic. I love to do woodwork, all that stuff. But I do draw every day. So yeah, that's like the big aspect of art in my life is drawing, painting. And yeah, I like to see like my whatever I create, like kind of come to life, you know, whether it be on somebody's skin or something, you know, on a canvas.
Yeah, that's, dude, the amount of tattoo artists that like make that jump to toys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, I mean, there's the ones that I can name just right off the top. Tools Art Toys. He makes King Kraju.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually knew about him before I knew that he made toys.
Oh, rad.
Yeah, I forget his tattoo name. Mind Boggle or something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Eddie from Resin Blood makes or does tattooing. And then I know that Nick and I'm messing up on the names. I only know them as Toy Monster Podcast. So they're up in Oregon and they're both tattooers, love toys, have a toy podcast, and they're like this close to making the jump into making toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a cool jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, as you're doing that, this is, the middle ground that I love talking to with artists. You create all day. Right. Mm-hmm. You're probably taking walk-ins, you're doing appointments, you're doing all kinds of stuff. How do you then, like, as you're creating, start to say, like, I want to make toys? Because all your creative juices are like flowing constantly. How do you have any left to then create a toy?
So I will say the start of like my transition into making toys was like, oh, last year. It was kind of slow for me. So I needed like an outlet, something to like move to like make me not lose my mind, you know, being so slow. But yeah, it was like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna try something new because I could sit here and do nothing, or, you know, I could just try to find some way to like occupy my time, some way to like be creative in another way.
Yeah. I mean, to settle on just because tattooing goes in like ebbs and flows, right? Like some seasons you're so busy.
Yeah.
I know that like during Christmas time or like winter, sometimes it like just plummets.
Yes.
My best friend's a tattoo artist. And so we kind of talked through this stuff a lot, but to do that, you had the downtime, start wanting to do toys. You see the soft vinyl or Sufubi toys in that spot, but you're not a sculptor. So you immediately go home and then you just start learning how to sculpt.
So there was like, it was like a very short period of time because, I'm a really impatient person. So
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
As soon as I got into my mind that I was like, I'm going to create a toy. This is like something that I want to do. I got in, like real quick, I got in and I started looking it up. And the first, like, I guess like step that moved me towards it was like, I found this guy cause I just started YouTubing. I was like, how to make this, how to, you know, the first guy I found was, I believe it was Slime House.
Yeah.
And then, and then Craftsman. Cause I saw Craftsman start doing it at home and I was like, I could try this. And then when I saw Theo from Slime House do it on a 3D printer, I went out, I bought my 3D printer. I messaged him I messaged the guy that on his like on his YouTube, like when he was doing that thing that he talked about, Shinmaru in Japan. I asked him how he did it. And so I started doing that little like Fofubi 50-50 blend of like resin, yeah. You know, and I tried that. That's where like the concept of my figure came to life, which was starting that way. Like I was like, okay, I want to do Skeletor. Like I love Skeletor. So yeah. He was like, I think so. This was how Scorn started.
Dude, that is a cool figure like that.
Yeah, so I made him like this, and then I was like, I want to produce this. I want to figure out how I could kind of like create him. Okay. And I found this guy here. His name's Elixir.
Yes.
He's actually been like so much help for me. Like
he's awesome.
And, yeah, he's really. He's super cool, dude. So I hit him up. I was like, how do you do this? Like, how do you make them look so good? Are you producing at home, this and that? And he told me, no, like, I go through a factory. So he had given me his guy that he went through, and I sent him that. The guy was like, there's no way we could do this. Like, this can't be pulled into Sfubi.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know what that means. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I don't know, like, how it's wrong.
Yeah.
And the guy, like, Mad Monk, his name is, he was pretty helpful. Yeah. So,
did he, like, send you back an image with circles on it? He's like, smooth this out, take this out. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Oh. He was like, it can't be done. Like,
okay.
He was
okay.
Like, you have to recreate it so it looks like Sfubi. And he was like, basically, like, you know, like, oh, the hood, it's too deep. The eyes are too deep.
Yeah.
There's no like clear cut for the head. And as I like started like, okay, well, let me figure out how to do this. And I was like, obviously, you know, Googling pictures of Sfubi and all that stuff. And yeah, I got on a sculpting app. I got on Nomad. And he was my first sculpt. Scorn was my first sculpt. I started off, and originally he was gonna be Skeletor, and Mac actually gave me the idea to lose the hood. He was like, "Well, you know, if you do Skeletor, you can only do Skeletor. Like,
yeah,
he's only gonna be Skeletor. He's like, if you lose the hood and stuff like that, you could be more creative with him." And I was like, "Dude, that's." Honestly, that's like a great idea.
Yeah.
And so, I just started sculpting, watching tutorials, looking at how, you know, things are done, hands.
How many editions? So you start with the first one, which is rad, right?
Yeah.
Like it already comes out looking, it kind of has the vibe of a Funko version of Skeletor, which.
Yes.
Kind of, I like that look. I love that Mad Monk was like, hey, all these got to go away.
Yeah.
That's so like, true. Yeah. So how many editions do we got? So you do the first one and you print and immediately you're like, this is the one, and then get shut down. And you're like, that's not the one.
So I.
Oh, yeah. Do you have all
I
of them?
I have like a little 3D print of the first version of him.
Yep.
He was stubby. He was like a little like he had no legs. It was like this big.
Yep.
I printed him out. I was like, this doesn't look good like this. And then so I went back. I printed this one, which was like this was the start of him.
He's like real small.
Yeah. So it was like this.
Yo, let's take a pause real quick. Are you trying to launch a Kickstarter? Are you new to making toys? Are you trying to figure out how to do this Instagram thing and marketing and business side and all that? Send us a DM. Our goal has always been that we want to care for the community and we want to be there for everything that is going on with the community and people that need help, because we were once helped. So we want to pass that on. If you are looking for that kind of stuff, let us know. We will answer questions. We also are starting this new thing where we can help you through the entire process, because it is sometimes overwhelming when you're just stepping in and you're trying to get information from everywhere and piece it together. And it's always nice to have it all in one spot. So if this is you, shoot us a DM. We'd love to talk to you.
I kind of like that size though.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking doing little like blind boxes of like a small version of him or something.
So that one comes next, right? You lose the hood, you start to resculpt. This is the next one.
Yeah. So this was like, okay, well, now I'm gonna try to start doing this, start like maybe painting this or something. But as I was talking to Elixir and stuff, he got me into that factory, but Mad Monk, he's cool. He's a super cool dude, I'd say, but very hard to work with. And like,
yeah,
he was just like, what?
Go ahead.
No, so I did that sculpt. That was like my final sculpt. It was like, all right, this is how I want it to look. This is how he was like, smoothen it or do this or do that. And it's not ready to pull. And so I started talking to other people. I started talking to Motley, I believe his
Motley
name.
Motley Miscreations. Yeah. Yep.
Because Elixir was telling me, oh, this is the guy that does my sculpts or something. So I was like, okay, like maybe since I'm not good at this or I just don't know what to do, I could go through somebody else. And it ended up, I think he was too busy. He couldn't do it. So I just kept refining my scorn. And then finally I talked to Spamuni.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he told me that he had used Rabbit.
Yeah.
So
it's a cool company.
I messaged Rabbit and Rabbit was like, yeah, just let me know how big you want to do it. I was like, all right.
Yeah, there is. We're in a weird spot, right? So the whole Mad Monk's been doing it a long time, right?
Yeah.
So Max Toy Co. has also been doing it a long time. Like, we have these people that have been doing soft vinyl or Sufubi a very long time. Kwong from Creature Bazaar, like all these people. And so we get to a point where they're like, that won't work. Nope, that's not gonna work, because they come from a moment in which you sculpted it and sent it over, like digital and all that stuff. So and then I think that as things have grown, the process of pulling soft vinyl has also shifted. So like Rabbit Giant is using like vacuum machines to pull bubbles and to do all kinds of cool stuff. And so it is tough, because you're like, I want to work with some of these really cool guys, but this factory already says this is good to go. So
yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, well, like at first, I mean, it was kind of like a deterrent, like, oh, obviously I'm not going to get this down, you know,
right,
like
right.
This guy is, he's telling me like, and I don't know how to fix it, because obviously there is that language barrier, you know? So you're like talking to them and you're like, wait, like, how do I fix this? And, you know, they only give you so much information.
Yeah.
Where Rabbit was just kind of like, yeah, like I talked to them. They were like, okay, just send it how you want to piece it out. And they ended up helping me with his head, because like I didn't know how to piece out his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did the cut for me. And yeah, it came out awesome. It was, yeah, they were kind of easy to talk with, easy to work with in that way.
Yeah, I've sent them a lot of money over the course of a couple of years. So, so hold up the piece, because this is the little one is what you sent to Rabbit, right?
Yeah, I sent them this 3D print.
Right, and you mailed it to him or like digital?
No, the STL, yeah.
So sent it to him, and then somehow do you have an actual one next to you somewhere?
Yeah, I got this guy.
Somehow you got to that size from the moment you set the STL to now,
How did you just, was it Rabbit that was like, let's do it?
Was like, what do you mean, let's do it?
Like, when did you, because you sent them the smaller version.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Did you decide to go way bigger, or was that them saying like, let's bump it up?
So originally it was just the STI, the STL that I got. So, I had talked to a few people like, oh, what size do you think I should do him? You know?
Yeah.
And there was like, you know, cause originally I was like, oh, maybe 10 inches, maybe 9 inches.
Yeah. That's big.
And I had talked to a few people. They were like, oh, well, you know, it's harder to get people to be into like really big figures and stuff. And yeah, there was just like a happy medium of like, oh, maybe this is too small, this is too big.
Yeah.
So I went with 7 inches.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, I liked it. I got him in hand and I was like, wow, this is actually like pretty big. It was bigger than I thought 7 inches was going to be.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and it's dope too, right? Like pieces that stand straight up and down. I've heard a lot of people talk about the reality of shelf space.
Yeah, right?
We all have such limited shelf space. But if a piece stands straight up and down, it can kind of be as tall as you want because it still only takes up a little bit of space. It's when you got pieces like, good God, I can't even remember who did it. It's this massive, like, behemoth of a figure. There's, like, rock ogre rhino looking thing. And it's sick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's, like, this big.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, I don't have a shelf for that.
Yeah.
So, I think 7 inches is a rad size.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's not originally how big I wanted it.
Okay.
I was going around like 9-10 inches. Yeah. But yeah, I think like getting it and seeing it in hand, I was like, wow, this is actually like, it's big.
Yeah, hold that bad boy up. Let's do a little deep dive into this. He's a beaut. Like, you were able to sculpt hands, sculpt the things around the wrist. Like, you learned so quick.
Dude, this was like, I literally watched like a tutorial on feet, and I got down the foot and I was like, oh, I'm going to do this and start creating these like skull boots and stuff.
Nailed it. So he's cut at the arms and I'm assuming the waist, right?
Yeah, the waist.
And then the head.
Yeah, and then the head, they did like a pretty crazy cut. Like the socket is inside the head. So, yeah.
Yeah. That is rad. It's a cool figure. You nailed it. How many is that? Only 4 fingers?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I'm really into the sculpt because it paints an homage to the things that you love.
Yeah.
But it's still yours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wanted to go like in my own direction with like the skull guy, you know, because it is done a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to give him that like, oh, okay, well, you know, he could be Skeletor and he could be Scareglow and he could be, you know, so that's I wanted him like kind of like basic, but also not.
And you nailed it, dude.
Thanks.
So you see this in stores, like you go to that shop, you see Sifubi, you want to start doing it. Does it also start like you collecting soft vinyl? Because
I got into it. So,
dude, so I can name a couple pieces, like you got a Barbarian Rage, you got Hints and Spices, like you've got some figures that are dope behind you. And I mean, it just starts something different in you. Like, I don't know how to describe it to someone that doesn't collect toys, but like...
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed. Wait, salvation. Hooray. We're saved, DLP2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
The eBay for custom action figures.
DKE.
Not only when you start collecting toys do you feel something, but then when you make them, you appreciate what it takes to make it, so you buy more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too much, dude. It's too much. Toys on Tap's about to go bankrupt. Holy moly. So you make that, you start painting. Are you the one that's doing all the painting?
Yeah.
So you're learning how to do airbrush and using the right paints, all that stuff, trying to do all the research. How'd you start painting, dude?
So I will say I just dived right into airbrushing. Mm-hmm. I had never done airbrushing before, surprisingly. Mainly all the painting I've ever done before was like oil, acrylic, brush. Yeah. So I bought a airbrush. I had actually started off with like a pretty pricey airbrush. It was like $120 or something.
Iwata.
It wasn't an Iwata.
Okay.
I should have gotten an Iwata. I ended up getting like a Harder and Steamback or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had talked to a few people, obviously, you know, talking to people who are painting, people who are, you know, making toys and stuff. And everybody's telling me, Vinyl Wonder. So I bought a bunch of Vinyl Wonder colors and started painting with that airbrush. And I will say, I think maybe like 8 figures in, that thing just gave out on me. And I could not figure out to fix it. I was like, I don't know what I did because, you know, people were telling me like, oh, put the thinner in, blow it out and stuff like that. And I was doing that. I would clean the airbrush like that all the time. Just gave out, never used it again. So
crazy.
I just started buying $20 airbrushes and it does the same thing. So, I love it. I love being able to paint each one. I will say, like, when I bought all my initial figures, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to put some to the side just to do, like, one-offs, just because I want to paint him in, like, different ways.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. How many did you get on your first order?
I only got 50, so.
That's, dude, don't say only got. That's a lot of toys. That's a lot of toys. People don't understand. It doesn't seem like a lot, but. Man, 50 is insane.
It is. Getting the box and opening it up and being like, wow, this is.
My biggest order. So I got 90 at one point, and then my biggest order was like, I don't know, like almost 300. And dude, the boxes that come in, it's so crazy. Yeah. You just get like shipment after shipment, and it's rad. But it is overwhelming for sure. Your first year doing soft vinyl, painting, all that stuff, and now getting ready to table.
Yeah.
My guy, where are we tabling at? Is CollectedCon the first one?
It was going to be.
Yeah.
And I just signed up to like Assembly Required.
Okay, Asheville.
Yeah. I'm splitting a booth with another guy that I know. And then I believe I might be doing the, I think it's called MomoCon.
Yeah, dude, in Atlanta. Next, it's like with, what the hell? It's the first thing that's coming. Wonderfest? There's something that's like, it's their first time being in the U.S. and it's a part of MomoCon, I think. In Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember if it's like, it's the first Wonderfest that's over here. I can't remember anything, that's sick. So you're flying out doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Dude. First year doing 2 shows.
Yeah.
3 shows.
3. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
What happens if you sell out at your first show?
I'm gonna hope I can order some quick.
Yeah, that is. It is crazy. Cause like shows are always, like, you never know who's walking by your booth.
Yeah.
And you, especially things like CollectedCon, where it's so big and it's going to be like a designer con here and people are going all through it. Like, who knows, dude? It's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tabling, never table. That means you're deciding what my table's going to look like, what the booth is going to look like. So then we get in contact. And I don't remember how, I think I, maybe I posted something or we were, I don't know, but, yeah. Decided like, let's do this. Cause it's helpful, right? Like we get to, you're going to have to pee or eat at some point during the convention.
Yeah.
Like, so
being able to like split a table is always like, yeah. Obviously done like tons of tattoo conventions. So it's like, yeah, like having that second person at your booth with you is always like, just makes life easier.
Heck yeah. And it's my, like, I had, I tabled with Eddie Anaya at DesignerCon. It was cool. Okay. Loved doing it.
Yeah.
And then now tabling with you. And I love that you're a newer artist, because it's like, what better way to like table with someone? Like, yeah, your first show, let's run it. And so we, I'm pumped because like we'll have ours, and then right next to us is like, I'm doing interviews right there. So we're doing all kinds of stuff there.
Rad.
Mark Nagato is going to come booth with us for a little bit. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped to have all kinds of things going with that. With all of that, like, what's it feeling like? Where are we headed this year? Where do we hope this go? Are we working on another character? Like, so many questions.
I do have, it's going to be two characters that are coming out. I'm hoping they are there by Collecticon.
That's right. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm working on, it's like a robot suit guy that I'm going to be, like, my plans in the future for him. Right now it's two characters. It's going to be like a kind of like a Space Fox, Star Fox style thing. And then Devil Man.
Okay.
So, but yeah, my plan is to just have like him, basically have like tons of heads for him, tons of weapons for him. So he's going to be coming, and then I'm working right now on a third character that's going to be in basically like Scorn's universe. So I kind of wanted to create like a bunch of characters to go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of things to come.
Dude, that's so sick. I mean, what's cool too is that you not only did this one, but now we're like, oh, we're going to do more.
Yeah.
You caught the bug, which is crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And you started with original IP. Like,
yeah.
I've done some, and I've worked in partnership with some people to make it happen. It's a tough time sometimes because people don't know the character, don't know the lore. So you're like teaching and selling all at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I'm pumped to see how this figure does.
So am I. I mean, I will say, like, I have gotten a lot of a good feedback.
Yeah.
As far as, like, him as a character. But, yeah, I definitely want the experience of, like, bringing him to a show and, like, seeing how people walking around, you know, take to him.
Dude. I can't wait to see it. We obviously have to jump on a call and talk booth design.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's like how it usually works is like, at least how it worked with us at the other one. It's like, if this is the 10x10 block, depending, like if we're on the edge of a place, you or I get this one and you and I get this one. Like you get two different sides.
Yeah.
And then you can like do your table, put up whatever behind you. And then figuring out like how that then goes into the next one for me and all that stuff. But dude, it's going to be so sick.
Yeah,
are you based out of right now?
Florida, Orlando.
Have you been to LA before?
Once.
You're going to love it, dude.
Yeah. I do know that there's a lot of like toy shops out there versus like over here. There's like zero.
Yeah, they're not super close. There's some that are close to the shop, to where it's at, but they're not all super close. So you'll have to do some driving if you drive out here. Yeah. I sadly am the type of person that's like, I'll grab breakfast with people or like we'll grab dinner, but I want to go to sleep, man. Like,
for sure.
I spend so much time talking to people and talking to artists and stuff that sometimes it's like, dude, just text me. I'll wake up. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think like, you know, years of trying to be like, oh, I want to party with everybody.
Now
it's like, you know, dialed back.
Yeah, there was at DesignerCon, there was like a karaoke night. And believe me, I'll get up there and sing some Celine Dion and rock it. And I love that. But not after I was on my feet all day talking to people nonstop. I can't.
Yeah.
And I got it in me. I mean, dude, I'm so pumped to see what's coming for you, especially being this new. I'm pumped to have you on Toys on Tap so we can, like, this is now the start of this journey. And you're, like, heading out, which is so sick. The last part of the podcast is really just talking about all the things that you've got coming up. So, like, reiterating where the shows are that you're going to be at, where people can buy your work.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1.18 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
Like all that stuff. So please, please plug this away because you got a dope piece.
Sweet. Yeah. So I'm going to be doing the Assembly Required show in
February.
Asheville.
Yep.
Yeah. North Carolina, Asheville. I will be at the MomoCon in Atlanta and Collecticon in LA. Yeah, I'll have, you know, I'm hoping by Collecticon and that MomoCon that I'll have those new figures out. But I'm going to have Scorn for all of them. I even got some glow-in-the-dark ones coming, which I'm pretty excited about. So buying them, being able to buy them online, occasionally put a few up in my store, which is on the links on my page, the Gong Kong Studios page on Instagram.
Heck yeah, dude, I'm so pumped. So you have the links. I've seen things where it's like, hey, here's last one, better get it. And it like, and then I see another post that's like sold out, and I'm like, hell yeah. It's so sick. So pumped that's happening, and I can't wait to table with you at Collecticon.
I'm excited, man.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap.
Thank you, man.